Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time, America. Oh, my Lord. And around the world, from the remote jungles of Clinch Falls, Indiana, to Larry Batson. You're going into Larry Batson's wild world. With Dr. Henry Day, Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're so honored, so blessed. We have a great host this week, or guest, I should say. Future of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Jim Fowler, will be joining us. We'll be talking animals today, a lot. Reminding everyone that the Wild World is brought to you by the SRI Label Group. As the greatest collection of music you'll ever see, SRIRecords.com. Also, Wildlife Educational Services and this magical network called Blog Talk Radio. So, let's take a step into the Wild World. Good afternoon, Dr. Day.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Batson.
How's everything today in Indianapolis?
Well, it's a little warm today. We're pushing around 86 degrees on the wildlife patio up here.
Oh, God. Well, that's kind of a reprieve of what we've endured so far.
Oh, yeah, it's actually kind of nice. The humidity is really low today, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, I was noticing that as well. I was out feeding bears and various wildlife, and I thought today is a heck of a lot cooler because we had a big rain last night, so that was nice.
Unfortunately, we didn't get any here in Indianapolis.
You didn't? Oh, my gosh, it pounded us. That's too bad. Well, we've got plenty of rain, so we're all set for a while, I think.
But anyway, bring us some.
I will. I'll package it up and send it your way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now it's time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana. Distinguished, honorable, and always prompt, Dr. Henry Day and the Wild World News staff with Wild World.
Well, that was quite nice.
I worked almost 2 hours on that.
Yeah, I think you got a hit there, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well,
too.
I'm pretty excited about today's show. We got Jim Fowler on.
We do, my hero. I mean, we all grew up with Mitch of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and I never thought my wildest dream is that one day I'd have the opportunity to work with Jim Fowler, but I did. So it was, it's a half for several years. It was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great man. Taught us a lot about wildlife growing up.
Yeah, he taught us don't be hanging from a cliff and grab a California condor because it'll bite the crap out of you.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite a large bird to be playing with. But maybe Jim will tell us about that.
Well, we're going to ask him about it.
and spending all that time with Marlon Perkins. I'll hover safely here in the helicopter while Jim wrestles the water buffalo in the swamp below.
Well,
that was my Marlon.
They used to harass him quite a bit on Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It was cool.
All right, shall we get on with the Wild World News for June 3rd?
We're anxiously awaiting.
All right, swim at your own risk. Wildlife officials are keeping an eye on 2 12-foot great white sharks spotted off the coast of Savannah, Georgia this past week.
Oh.
So if you want to dip a toe in the water to test it, I would be very careful.
Well, that sounds like it. Isn't that somewhat normal, though, for the Atlantic coast? I mean, I knew the infamous sharks fisherman Frank Mundus, who was the inspiration for the character Quint in the movie Jaws. and they fished off the coast of New York City. And they'd take the clients out to the dump in the ocean. That's where they'd fish for great white sharks.
All I know is they're pretty serious creatures. Now, when I went to Panama in the early 70s, the day that I got there, two Kuna Indians were in a cayuca, which is a carved-out wooden boat. Great white shark, about 20 foot, snapped the cayuca in half.
Oh.
One of the Kuna Indians did not make it. The other made it to shore. Otherwise, we wouldn't know the story. But, yeah, so that was the news of the day when I arrived in Panama, in Balboa
Heights.
Made
you want to go swimming.
Exactly. All right.
Did you go swimming?
Believe it. Yeah, we did a lot of diving in the Panama Canal and in the ocean. Both sides, the Atlantic and the Pacific. There's only 40 miles from ocean to ocean, so it's quite a lovely spot to live.
I'll bet.
All right, believe it or not, in Lanesburg, Massachusetts, five people were hospitalized after a head-on collision with a car transporting bees. Well, as you can imagine, the bees got loose, stinging police and all those involved.
I bet that hurt.
Yeah, there was honey everywhere.
Yeah. What do you put on a bee sting?
There's not, you know, they're actually using the bee stings as medicine these days.
Oh, well, that's true.
Rhinitis, a lot of other things. And the unfortunate thing about that is the bees, the honeybees, when they sting, they leave their stinger, which will cause them to die.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
We don't want that.
I have the childhood story when I was quite little, I think like 5 or 6 years old, and I always questioned how hard a bee could sting. So one time out in the yard, I decided to cup my hand over a bee that was sitting on a clover, and I found out right away the power of the bee sting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather be stung by bees than wasps though, because they can sting you many times. So if you're going to get stung, I'd rather be.
Yeah.
Honey, I love that new float you brought for the pool. Sarasota, Florida. A couple woke up to find a 300-pound alligator in their swimming pool.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good way to start the day. But that's nothing
compared
to you. You got 7 alligators in your swimming pool.
Yeah. Don't go swimming either.
That's because you're smart.
That's because I can't. I can't swim a lick.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I drop like a rock.
Well, I wouldn't go in there anyway because there's 7 alligators in there.
Yeah, well, that's true. And they will eat you, I'll guarantee it.
All right, now we got a strange story out of Reno, Nevada. You remember many years ago there were a bunch of cow mutilations across the United States?
Right.
Well, sheriff's deputies and the agricultural officials are investigating the disappearance of as many as 200 cows this past year.
Hmm.
Close encounters, you think?
They're still investigating, I assume?
Yes. Yeah, this is continuing to happen for the past year.
Wow.
Cows are missing.
Just aliens.
If they wander off, they're not that hard to find. I mean, they're large creatures. But, yeah, we'll keep you informed on this one. All right, off to one of my favorite places, Silver City, New Mexico. Now, I was stationed in the service at Fort Bliss, Texas, so I spent a lot of time in that area. And I did a lot of traveling. Anyway, the Gila National Forest is just a beautiful place, and I spent a lot of time there. Well, a man in Silver City was camping in the Gila National Forest and was attacked by a bear, which was going after some nearby food.
Oh.
Now we know when you're camping in areas like that, you have to take care of your food because they'll attract bears.
That's so true.
I hope he learned a valuable lesson. Now, one time when I was camping in the Gila National Forest, I heard these women screaming, rattlesnake, rattlesnake. So, of course, I'm excited. They were excited, but in a different way than I was. So, anyway, I run over, and it's in the Gila River. I see it swimming. Well, anyway, I wade out a little bit, and I never go anywhere in the desert without my snake stick. So I wrangle him up, and it's a bull snake about 6 foot long. So I take it back to a sergeant I was camping with, and he's like, no, there's no way. They drove it. We're not taking that. That snake's not going home with us. I'm like, all right. And it was just beautiful. I wanted to keep it. So I thought, well, I'll find a little ground squirrel hole, and I'll slide him down the ground squirrel hole, and he'll chase out the ground squirrels, and I'll enjoy that, right?
Right.
Ground squirrels. So I slide this this bull snake down this little hole, expecting to see ground squirrels. Second later, here comes a garter snake, and then another garter snake, and they're about 9-10 inches long. They're coming out of the hole as fast as I can grab them. I've got two hands full of garter snakes, and they're all just biting the hell out of me. And you know what? That was one of my favorite moments.
Is there any video?
No, I'm afraid not. I do have pictures of the bull snake, though.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, that's one of my favorite places, the Gila National Forest. All right, what's that smell at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina? Well, conservation officers estimate that more than 100,000 gallons of sewer water was spilled near Myrtle Beach.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's not good at all. Not good. But they're doing their best to contain it and clean it up, and don't be afraid to go out to the beach. But
I know. Hey, guess what, Kenny Day? Henry Day.
Tell him.
Dr. Henry Day. You want to guess?
Hello? We have Jim Fowler?
We just had him call in. He's going to help us with the Wild World News from Georgia, our good friend, my hero, Jim Fowler's with us.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Jim.
We're still in the middle of the Wild World News, but we sure would like your input because it's always interesting, for sure.
Jim, I've been around a while, that's for sure.
Yeah, he has an interesting perspective on things. He's brought me around more than once.
All right. Well, what else got spilled this week? Federal Way, Washington. An overturned semi spilled 40,000 pounds of chicken feathers onto Interstate 5. It took several hours to clean up the road. Now, the only thing I could think of when I read this story was that is a lot of naked chickens.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Man, I couldn't imagine sweeping up that many chicken feathers. My goodness.
Can you just imagine?
Yeah, it'd be brutal.
All right, let's do some local news. Indianapolis, Indiana. An Indiana University program that monitors disease-carrying pests has detected a regional increase in deer ticks this year.
Mm.
And as we know, that can be very bad.
Yes, it can.
Also, it is free fishing day in Indiana.
It's what?
Still got a little time left out there. Free fishing day in Indiana.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll go this afternoon.
I'm down to the creek. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, now, look at this place. Sitka, Alaska. Animal controls says the number of rabbit sightings has increased by tenfold this past year.
Who's counting these rabbit sightings? That's what I want to know.
We are talking a lot of bunnies. Oh, there's bunny counters out there. You know that.
Oh,
we got to do well. Let's go count some bunnies.
Yeah.
But that is incredible. Ten
that
times
is.
As many bunnies as Sitka. All right, well, while we're talking about bunnies, I saved this story especially for Shelley Leibowitz. We're going to hop over to Carson City, Nevada. Now, Dennis Hoff plans to open an anti-aging rejuvenation center next to his famed Moonlight Bunny Ranch. I think Shelley will be excited about that.
Yeah, he probably will. He's already booked a plane ticket.
Yeah, he's probably on the phone right now.
Yeah, he's our, and by the way, he is our underwriter for Wild World, srirecords.com.
Yes, what a wonderful man. We love Shelley Leibowitz.
We do.
All right, it's time to play Who's Gotten Older?
Uh-oh.
You got to play with us, Jim.
What was that?
Who has gotten older?
This past week.
Who's gotten older?
Yeah.
Yep, we're doing both days. All right, how old is Gladys Knight?
I'll take a shot, 70.
Mr. Fowler?
I have no idea.
I kind of
well,
felt
that's
that
a
was...
good guess. Gladys Knight turned 74 this past week.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't even close.
Yeah, I wouldn't have really known about Gladys Knight, but I would have guessed a little higher than that. All right, John Fogerty of Cream Clearwater Revival.
I have no idea. Oh, I don't know, 68.
John turned 73 this past week.
Oh,
Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones.
Charlie Watts, he's about 100.
No, he just looks that way. He's not quite that old.
Oh.
Charlie Watts turned 77 this past week.
Well, good for Charlie.
Hey, Larry, I got them all beat.
What's that?
I've been around the sun 88 times.
Oh, my
God. Wow. Jim is the winner today.
Yeah, he is the winner. He gets the shiny new dime. My goodness.
All right. Well,
I couldn't help from telling you that.
Wow.
I think in universal terms.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
How many people out there are thinking all the time that they're moving through space on a round ball of liquid iron? We're running around space, and takes a year to get around the sun.
I know. That's an interesting perspective, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You've done it 88 times. Amazing.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
All right, now we all remember Jerry Mathers,
the beaver.
How old is Beaver Cleaver?
Oh, I'm going to say 70.
You hit it right on the nose.
Oh, that's luck. I had no idea.
All right, Jim, try Pat Boone. How old do you think Pat Boone is?
Sorry about that. Say that again.
How old do you suppose Pat Boone turned this past week?
He's probably in his late 80s.
Well, Pat only turned 84 this week.
Okay.
Well, Jim's got him beat.
Yep.
I sure do.
Guitarist Ron Woods of the Rolling Stones.
Oh, he's at least 100.
That is. I never watched.
Ron Wood turned 71 this past week. All right, now, do you remember Peter, Paul, and Mary, Jim?
Say it again.
Peter, Paul, and Mary? The group Peter, Paul, and Mary?
I never watched much of that.
Well,
I like music, but I don't follow some of that.
He was too busy wrestling stuff, Henry.
I know.
You got it.
That's right.
Well, Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary turned 80 this past week.
Oh.
Yeah, and from my hometown of Leavenworth, Kansas, Melissa Etheridge turned 57 this week.
God love Melissa Etheridge. My Lord, what a strong person.
Yep, from my hometown. I dated her older sister.
Oh, you did? Wow.
All right, well, let's get on with this wild world news and fun facts. We're going to do the fun fact of the day so we can get Jim Fowler on.
Yes.
All right, now I want you to think about this as you're falling asleep tonight. Baby robins eat 14 feet of earthworms every day.
How many feet?
14 feet of earthworms.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Every
well, that's
day?
That's the Wild World News for June 3rd, every day.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters, made possible by the SRI Label Group. SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It is all there, artists and their classic recordings, best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group, srirecords.com. Well, we grew up with a show that's become iconic, Beach of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Co-host of the Wild Kingdom program, along with Marlon Perkins, is, I consider, a very good friend, my hero, and what a pleasure to work with all these years. Our guest this week from Beach of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the Johnny Carson Show, Tonight Show, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, you name it, he did a song for the Today Show. Our guest, Jim Fowler.
I got a
Hello,
question
Jim.
For you, Larry. Where does your radio show, where does that reach?
It reaches around the world.
Oh, okay.
We're on the Internet, so we're everywhere.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good.
Yeah. We've got a listener in Uganda that's listening right now that I know of.
Oh, dog.
Yeah. So they get to hear this wonderful barrage of information that we try to unload every week. So you're down in Albany, Georgia. It's the Jim Fowler Wildlife Compound.
Well, I'm actually right now, I'm in Albany, Georgia. You're right.
And
I had a gorilla in Uganda come down and slap me on the back of the head.
What brought that on?
you looking at his girlfriend?
No, I think I was pretending to be a gorilla. Yeah, he was wondering what was going on. That was in Uganda, though, when you mentioned Uganda.
Well, we have a young baboon. Well, she's 9 years old. That's from Uganda. We have an olive baboon that we've been using in our school programs now for 9 years.
Oh,
boy, she would have been a great participant in the old Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
She's quite a character.
It's hard to beat Johnny. I took Johnny and his wife, Alex, to Africa when he stopped doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't talked about that very much to anybody because Johnny was a very private individual. But I woke up one night and an elephant was standing on his back legs reaching up to get a limb to eat right over his tent. And he never knew it happened, but I didn't tell him either.
Wow.
Well, that was nice of him.
A little bit of news. Did you know that I'm full of all this useless can reach just about as high as a giraffe can.
Really?
Yeah, that's a little fact of life that nobody gives a darn about, but anyway.
Yep. You know, Jim, I remember the episode of Wild Kingdom where you confronted a bull elephant, and what was so impressive about it is basically you intimidated it with a stick. You threw a stick at
it.
Well,
I threw
around.
A stick at it, but it's the same old thing, you know, that if you take the initiative, it makes the animal puzzle a little bit and know what to do. And I knew elephants pretty darn well. And when it started to charge me, I remember I threw a stick at it, and it backed up and went away. Hesitated,
yeah,
you're lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, where do you learn that? I mean, the experiences that you've had then.
Well,
I would have saved that stick. I would have went and got that stick and saved it.
But all the experiences that you had, and Jim, for the Wild Kingdom show, I still hear about it. People have just thought it was the most amazing bit of television, and it was.
A lot of people remember it.
Well, sure they do. And
it's part of the Sunday night lineup.
Well, I've never told Jim this, but we were, before we met Jim in the early 80s, in fact, we met Jim, he called, well, the gist of the story is he called us on a August afternoon, and it was quite hot. I was in the monkey building cleaning monkeys, and the phone rings, and I pick it up, and he says, "I'm Jim Fowler." And I'm thinking right then, which one of my friends knows how to do an imitation of Jim Fowler's voice? And you said you were going to be up in South Bend for the Shriners at the Morris Civic Center, and wondered if I would consider bringing some animals up to do the program with you. And of course, I couldn't say yes quick enough. And I still remember what we took. We took a young Bengal tiger. I took a python.
Yep.
I think I took a timber rattlesnake, but the most infamous animal that we took up that night and introduced to you, which later would be on the Tonight Show, is our Celebes Black Ape Doc.
Oh, was that Doc? My goodness.
Yes.
Doc got me in big trouble. Doc would sit on my, before I was doing Johnny Carson, if you put your hands out, Doc would sit on your hands flat. I had him just in front of me, and I remember I was sitting backstage, and you came up to me and said, "Jim, I hate to tell you this, but Doc has reached puberty and doesn't like men, doesn't stare at him." And I said, "Oh, thanks a lot. You know, I'm just about to go out on the show." And he said, "Well, it's worse than that." He said, "I tried to castrate him, but I didn't have time." And then they said, "Here's Jim Fowler." So I had to put Doc on a table. And he started throwing chairs off the table and doing a war dance. I'll never forget that. And I knew better than to look him in the eye. You know, with primates, you have to be pretty careful, just the same way you did your teacher in school. But anyway, I didn't look Doc in the eye, and then old Johnny comes over there and starts making faces at Doc. And Doc went through the air and socked him, and Johnny said, that blankety blank hit me. And, boy, I had to get out of there in a hurry, but I had to sit down. I'll never forget it. I sat down before I had to leave, and Doc was on my lap, and I wasn't going to look him in the eye. But they had placed some grapes just out of sight there that we could pick up and give to Doc. Well, Johnny picked up the grapes and started eating them. He would pretend to give one to Doc, and then he'd pull it back and eat it himself. And I saw fire coming out of Doc's eyes, so I got him out of there pretty quick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was so, to tell you the truth, I was so angry. I didn't think the segment went well at all.
You
did? No. I remember going back to the hotel, and I thought, man. But I was stupid because Cheryl and I were up late watching the greatest moments from the Carson show. They were trying to sell a series of DVDs. And your segment with Doc was the 15th greatest moment on the Tonight Show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right, yeah.
We had quite a bit of fun.
Excuse me, yeah.
We did Carson, but with other animals we took out there. We took a couple badgers that.
Yeah.
For Johnny. And
yeah.
A wallaby, I remember one time.
Yeah.
And these giant Bufo marinus toads from South America.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, if you remember right, when I would call you up and pitch you animals to take on the Johnny Carson show, I mentioned those toads, and you said, well, how can we do something with them? I said, well, if you pick them up just right, they'll urinate about a gallon.
That's
so,
right.
that was
about the level of the humor on the Carson show.
It was, you know.
Perfect.
So we took the toads out there, and we'd always stayed at the Toluca and Lake Motel there at Toluca Lake because they let us bring animals in.
Yeah,
and
that's
I handled
right.
those toads for 3 days like a crate of eggs. I mean, I barely picked them up. I'd set them in the bathtub with water so they could absorb just as much moisture as possible. So you take the toads out, and we got them sitting on the desk, and you're telling Johnny, says, pick those toads up, Johnny, and feel the strength in them. And he's picking them up, he's squeezing, he's doing everything, and there's nothing. Nothing's happening.
Yep.
So finally Carson's over the toads. He says, well, Jim, those were nice. What else you got? And you handed those toads to me backstage, and I didn't take two steps from after you handed those to me that they did urinate a gallon.
Hell yeah.
And I thought to myself, if that would have been a minute earlier, we would have had a classic moment on the Johnny Carson show.
You would have had, yeah.
Another classic moment.
Yes, it was. We're going to take a short break. We want to remind everyone our guest today is Jim Fowler from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Remember, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Larry Batson. Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network, Blog
Talk
Radio.
Just imagine if chatting with a chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. Oh, what a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals and learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, a buffalo and beagle, a alligator, guinea pig and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python. I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros, I say I'm carceros. Can't you? If I conferred with our furry friends, man to animal, think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt, squeak, just walk with the animals, and Lord, they could talk to me. Talk to the animals, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe lunch with two or three lions, walruses and sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be.
He's about finished.
If I spoke slang to a orangutan,
he's about finished. Be a little longer.
On Earth, and plainly,
sorry. I really appreciate you using your phone.
Intellectual llamas, that's a big step forward, you'll agree. I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle. My Pekingese would be extremely good. If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus, I'd say why not a must, and I would stop and think a bit. There's no doubt of it, I could win a place in history if I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, run, squeak, and talk to the animals, and they could squeak and squawk and speak.
From the SRI Label Group, Sammy Davis Jr. talked to the animals. The SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there. Artists and their classic recordings, Best of ELO, Little Richard, Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates. Catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today. SRIRecords.com. Our guest this week here on Wild World is my friend, mentor, hero, all the above, Jim Fowler from Georgia. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I'm still here.
I'm glad. We all are. Hey, our good friend, Jim Sparks, told the story of how when you guys would do the Carson show, of how sometime Marlon was the person that took the brunt of the jokes, and that Marlon didn't really understand that that was a form of flattery, you guys talking about him and he's not even there.
Yeah,
do you remember
well,
that story?
Oh yeah, I remember it very well. Johnny used to say I was the only guy who was that Marlon Perkins could find who was dumb enough to do what he's had to do. Yeah, it was somewhat true.
It was, you know, I think that was the magic of the program. And years later, we went to do the Oprah Winfrey show because you filmed a lot of the studio stuff in the same building at Oprah. Was using at
oh,
that
that's
time
right.
For a
you
show.
Remember that? In fact, I had on a little ape, or I had on something.
It was a baboon.
A baboon. That was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she paid a lot more attention to the baboon than she did to me. Yeah.
Well,
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah. Well, she posed the question to us: Why is the baboon putting her posterior in my face? And I explained to her because she wants me to scratch it.
There you go. Well, you're one of the few people that could handle a baboon successfully in front of an audience. Not many people have ever worked with. Baboons are extremely intelligent. And in most cases, they're more intelligent than the people that take them around. But you apparently are smarter than a baboon.
If I am, it's just a hair. I'm telling you that right now. Well, I always enjoyed primates. And as you know, most animal people, they're rather reluctant around primates.
That's right. Oh, I know all about that. Yeah.
We had... Do you remember we took the little baboon, the male baboon, Zach, on the Carson show, Jim?
Was that the one that we got a little embarrassed about?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. Well, yeah, Johnny
well,
made
I
a
think
big
Dr. Day knows
that.
The story, but our listeners may not. Zach was a little male hamadryas baboon, and when we did school programs, we always put pants on him. Because
yeah,
I didn't want to have to explain to the children why he is the way he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we're going out to do the Carson show with Zach, and Jim knew the reason we put pants on him. Jim Sparks knew the reason we put pants on him. But the producer, her name was Shirley Woods, did not know the reason we put pants, and she was not a nice person.
That's
and
true.
She can't. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, she came up to me right before the segment. She says we're gonna have the baboon. It's the third animal. So I said, well, I just need like a minute notice so I can put its pants on. And she's fired back at me. She says, pants? These are supposed to be wild animals. So Jim Sparks is standing right behind me, and I can feel him laughing already. So I thought to myself, well, I could tell her why, and then again, I could just keep my mouth shut. So I decided the latter, and the little baboon went out with Jim, and Johnny figured out pretty quick it was a male. So
I remember that.
And it would have been a boring segment because the little baboon didn't really do very much. He just sat up there and ate his grapes and his bananas, and
yeah.
And Johnny covered him up with a napkin. So it was funny.
They want me to do a book on my life.
Yeah.
Two Fowler's Life in the Wild. So I'm going to have to remember some of these stories that we did on the show.
Absolutely.
Invariably, there's something happened. I had animals that I could do things with. I didn't just bring an animal on, hug a little baby and that sort of thing. But I had animals that I could do things with, which made a big difference because, you know, the thing you learn, and there are some people out there today that work with animals who have never learned it. When you have an animal there on camera with you, you got to talk about that and what it's doing and what people are actually seeing. But there's some people out there that get off talking about all kinds of things when they're holding the animal. That doesn't work too well.
Yeah. No, the focus has got to be on the animal.
What you see, yeah.
You know,
yep, that's right.
I can... I still remember, I won't mention the name of the fellow that was presenting it, but it was on the Letterman show.
Yeah.
And they brought out a full-grown mandrill. And the only thing they could talk about was the color of its rear.
That's right.
And I thought to myself, that is awesome. I mean, that is spectacular. That's a full-grown mandrill on television. This guy's handling. I thought, my goodness, and that's all you can talk about? They tried to make it into a comedy routine, Jim.
Oh, they always do, yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. You're representing the natural world when you have an animal, and you got to make sure that you're talking about some things that people will remember.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you think was some of your greatest moments filming Wild Kingdom?
Well, I could talk a little bit about that. You know, I had we went all over the world, of course. I remember I was charged by a herd of probably 100 elephants. That was pretty interesting. I'd been at a water hole, and... we were digging out a water hole in Botswana so the buffalo could come in and drink. The elephants were digging holes with their trunk. They were sipping holes so they could stick their trunk down a hole 3 feet deep and suck up the water. And, and I remember that I was down there digging out the wet area so it'd be more water for the buffalo. And apparently a little baby calf had tripped with her mother in the herd. And all of a sudden there were three elephants that come, young ones that come down screaming at us. But then the entire herd came and my African scout ran out of his pants. And the truck was pretty far away, the Land Rover. And here was the entire herd came down. And I knew that I was going to get hit by the lead elephant. And it was a pickup truck. So I jumped up in the back of the truck. And sure enough, the elephant tried to knock what they do is knock you off on the ground, and then they do a headstand on you, and you end up looking like a cake of butter. But anyway, luckily he hit me with his trunk, or she hit me with the trunk, tried to, but and I couldn't figure out why the warden hadn't taken off. Well, apparently in all the confusion, a stick had rolled under the accelerator, and he was trying to accelerate, but nothing happened. And I was back there trying to dodge this elephant.
Oh,
that was a pretty interesting situation. But I didn't worry about it because I had Mutual of Omaha insurance.
Oh, there you go.
I knew that was coming.
I know it. Yeah. Well, I don't.
They've
sort of put me out the pasture, so I don't need to plug them anymore.
Well, that's not right. I mean, you are Wild Kingdom. Between you and Marlon, my goodness.
Well, to some extent, yeah. I may have to. I'm with a group of people right now. I may have to leave. Or I may have to walk down a river. So I'm in Georgia. It's the Flint River, yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, do you need to go, Jim?
I may need to go in a little while if you've got another couple of questions.
All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Day, I'm sure you're biting at the bit.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's just amazing. Seeing Jim on television all these years and, you know, the things on the Tonight Show, it's part of history. It will live on forever.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Apparently you can pick those up on YouTube or somewhere.
Well, I was watching the episode where we took the four wolf cubs on.
Oh, boy.
We put a piece of chicken down, and each wolf had a piece of that chicken, and they were pulling in unison. And I thought, my goodness, what's the chances of that happening? That's amazing television right there.
Well, you know, those things happen. We didn't plan that. That just happened. I had the wolves, as I remember, ran off in the corner, and we had to go try to get them.
Yeah.
Got them back, and they there were three of them on a chicken neck tugging away from each other. And that was enough to make the spot very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they always were. And I don't think anyone can forget the time that you had all those, that entire tiger litter, and you'd set them up behind.
Oh, yeah.
With the pretty advanced leash system. What was that all about? I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I had them leashed down, and I've forgotten exactly what happened, but made them all sort of jump up. Yeah.
What was there? Six tigers involved with that, I think.
Six young tigers. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were young, but they were still 100 pounds apiece. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's still a lot of kitty cat.
I can't remember all of that sequence, but I do remember having them all out there one time. Yeah.
Probably what brought your attention to Wild Kingdom and Marlon Perkins was your work with the Harpy Eagle and bringing him out of the jungles of Brazil.
Yeah, that was the... I did the first studies on the Harpy Eagle, which is a monkey eater.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really qualified as an explorer. I also did the first studies on the Andean condor in Peru, found the nest sites and described them. So I was, I became the honorary chairman of the Explorers Club in New York, which is a very prestigious club of real explorers, astronauts and whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But it started
doing a program at the Explorers Club, and we had a baboon out, and we fed the baboon a banana, and little did we know, we left the banana peel on the floor. And as you're introducing these two young mountain lions, I step on that banana peel and do a it looked like a Three Stooges bit. My feet went out from underneath me and slam on the floor. And
oh,
I can still remember what he said. He says,
"Uh-oh,
that's an animal handler. He didn't land on the cats."
Well, you remember a lot of this. That's great. You got a good memory. I'm trying
well.
To. I hope I can get some of it in the book. Yeah.
Well, I'd be more than happy to help because I consider every time we had a chance to be together, to work together, and do this, it was quite an honor, and I remember it all as if it was yesterday.
Well, you were one of those guys who lectured with animals successfully, did what you want, what you wanted to do, and so we had pretty good times together.
We had amazing times.
Okay.
Well, Jim, I'll let you go off on your hike. Let you go. That's funny.
All right.
Such a pleasure to have you on our show. What an honor.
Okay, well, maybe we can do it again sometime.
We have. They're feeling deeply honored as well.
Maybe we can do it again sometime.
I hope so. Sincerely hope so.
Okay. You're smart enough to have a program. I should have a program, but I haven't been able to exploit the media like you're doing a good job at it. Okay.
Yeah, it's called con. That's what it's called. All right, Jim. God bless you. We love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Yeah.
Hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Okay.
What a great guest, Dr. Day.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm glad you remember a lot of those stories helping with this book.
Well, there's so many great memories and, you know, and Jim Fowler is just, he was always my hero. I can remember when we first started doing the animal thing, we'd still sit home on Sunday nights and watch Wild Kingdom. And when he called me that afternoon to come up to South Bend, I thought, my gosh, I mean, we are so blessed. And the first time I met him, it was like, you know, you're talking and you're shaking hands with one of your heroes. And to have the honor of sharing the stage with him and all those animals, and it was pretty humbling. Really a great guy. We didn't always see eye to eye, I'll say that, but it was really an honor.
Yeah. Incredible character. I'll have to be back on the show soon.
Well, we're going to keep up to date with him. Like I say, he's down in Georgia. He's got a beautiful farm/ranch in Georgia, and he's done some. I know he's raised eland down there, and he had to fight his family to keep the ranch. They wanted to sell it years ago, and he said, no, we don't want to do that. So it was like, yeah, it was. That was a pretty cool show. I hope everyone enjoys it. Jim's quite a legacy, and he's truly a great man. I learned so much from him, especially doing presentations and all the experience we had working. You know, we did the Johnny Carson show, but we also did shows like Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Today's Show. We did Oprah with him. And he introduced me to a lot of people, very important people that I would have met. I would have never had the opportunity to go on, of course, all those television shows either. And it's a lot of work, you know, when you fly animals out to Los Angeles or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Dallas, Texas, or all the other places we went for him. It's a lot of stress, but after it's all said and done, it was all worth it. And truly a great man, Jim Fowler.
And you got a chance to educate the world.
Well, we're trying. It seems like it gets a little harder every day, but I'm very optimistic. You know, it's very, very optimistic on this deal. Dr. Day, I've got a surprise for you.
Tell me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, not long ago, I had an opportunity to go into a recording studio, and here's the gist of the story, is I took a National Geographic magazine, and one article in particular, and I decided that I'm going to compose a song using the the facts in this National Geographic magazine. And a good friend of mine years ago had an opportunity, he gave me the opportunity, I should say, to go into a recording studio and record my song. So guess what? It popped up here, there, and everywhere. It did. So to close out today's show, a great show, by the way, Dr. Day, thanks to the staff.
Yeah, it was a great show because of Jim.
It was, absolutely. Here's a Larry and the Animal Guys. It's a long way, Bombay.
Python.